Blog Talk Radio.
And a great big hello and welcome. You're listening to the Palm Springs Savant and Company radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Rick Rockhill, your host. I'm really pleased to be covering this show today. We're going to be talking about sustainability, things to help the environment. We're going to talk about wind power. And most excited today to be welcoming a special guest to the show, Melissa McGinnis, who is known by many of you from Greenopolis.com. She runs Greenopolis TV, and she's the lovely host there. And so we'll be welcoming Melissa to the show in just a few minutes. I wanted to, first off, give you a little bit of background on why I'm talking about the idea of sustainability and being green and so forth. And one of the things that, when you live in Palm Springs, one of the things that you can't help but notice is the fact that there are lots of wind farms all through. And so the valley, when you drive into the Palm Springs area, there's these wonderful wind farms all over. And people often ask us, how much power do those wind farms really generate? And are they good for the environment and so forth? And people, there's a lot of misnomers still about wind energy. So we're going to touch upon that today. And I wanted to start the show off because I think it's a great way for us to breach some of the questions or really take them head on. People don't realize that wind power is actually a growing and emerging category for power in this country. While the United States has been largely behind some of our other nations around the world, developing nations and even advanced Western countries who've had wind power, we've actually, as a country, increased the amount of wind power and wind energy that we have in use in the United States. So when you come to Palm Springs, you see thousands of wind farms all through the valley. You start thinking, wow, this must be pretty good. Well, wind farms are basically turbines. They're windmills that have mechanical power and pumps that take advantage of the natural wind that occurs in an area, and it turns that into energy. And those large-scale wind farms, just like we have here in Palm Springs, are connected to an electric power transmission network. And basically that grid provides electricity. It stores it, and it can then be sold to local communities. So you typically create a surplus of energy for many communities, and they buy that surplus when it's available. So for places like California, wind farms actually generate nearly 2% of our energy needs, and it could be much stronger. But in the United States, as I mentioned earlier, the United States has, in the recent years, dramatically increased the amount of wind farms that are being developed and put in place throughout the country. And there are definitely some markets where wind power is more viable. And certainly in California, there are some strong wind areas, high wind areas. But the Great Plains areas have tremendous potential. And so wind energy is something that is going to be developed further in those parts of the country. The one piece that people get concerned about is either the site, the impact on the visual side of this. What does that do to, pastures and green rolling hills that all of a sudden have these metal turbines built? And people get concerned about it, and they voice they express their concern about visual pollution. Well, I think they're actually quite attractive, in my opinion. I guess it does come down to personal opinion in many ways. But regardless, most communities do typically get past those concerns when they hear about the facts, which really are that there's a tremendous amount of benefit to wind power. So all I would say to you is go out on the Internet, search for some information about wind power, wind farms, and get the facts, because I think you would be very impressed to see just how green and earth-friendly wind power can be. So here in California, we've had wind farms for years. In fact, it's been part of the landscape, and in some ways, renewable energy has been more common for Californians for probably 20 or 30 years at least. But it is something that is catching on more. And as other countries continue to demonstrate the benefit of wind power, the United States is probably going to have no choice really to jump on the bandwagon. Just a little side note for you, that in Denmark, I think it's 20% of their stationary power comes from wind farms, and that's huge. And I think it's 13% in Spain, and Portugal is 7%. So some of these other countries, which are, we should be far ahead of them, you would think, they're actually far ahead of us in their production of energy through wind. So you can think about wind power as just one of the things that you can do to support when you hear about it locally, when you hear about requests for wind farms to be built. Get the facts. Read it. Understand it. We think they actually complement the landscape here in Palm Springs, and they're a really nice addition to the landscape, but also for actual energy. So take a look at that. Read up on the Internet. Wind power is just one of the renewable resources. Hydropower is another great one, and those are certainly more limited. You need large volumes of water passing through, like Niagara Falls or something. But wind farms are actually pretty easy. While they're very costly, they're pretty easy to get to integrate into the energy network because they are there are a lot of windy areas of the country. We can take advantage of that and really have a smaller impact on the environment because we're not using carbon fuel energy to create energy. So, all right, well, I'm rambling there. Having a few computer problems this morning, but I think we're back online now and appreciate you hanging in there during the transition. But really, today's show is about being sustainable. It's about what things we can all do to help reduce our impact on the environment. And as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be welcoming Melissa McGinnis from Greenopolis.com in just a moment. And before we do that, I just wanted to plant a few seeds with you. If you think about the things that you hear typically with the environment, with going green, sometimes it feels a little distant. People aren't always aware of the fact that it's pretty easy to do things, small steps that you can take. And so I wanted to give you some things to think about. For example, people don't always ask the question about light bulbs until they get to the store. What kind of light bulbs should I buy? But there are these energy saver light bulbs. They're long lasting. They look a little funny, but when you get used to them after a while, you wonder why you haven't used it sooner. These type light bulbs actually have a tremendous amount of energy savings, 75% less energy in a 10,000-hour bulb life. They last 15 times longer than a typical 750-hour incandescent lamp. And so if you get one of these energy-saving light bulbs, you'll be really surprised at how quickly you get used to that. Also, you can go to your grocery store now and you can find laundry detergent. Look for the ones that say environmentally friendly. These are typically concentrated formulas. They don't have any harmful chemicals. They're made with biodegradable cleaning agents. They're made from biorenewable resources, cruelty-free, no animal testing, plant-based cleaning agents, and so forth. So every time you wash your laundry, you're going to be using something that has a smaller impact on the environment in terms of pollution. Even things, if you have pets, there's great products out there. A company called EcoPure has their line of natural odor spot remover and stain removers using natural enzymes, and they have no toxic or harmful chemicals within them. So if you have a pet, that's just one more thing you can do there. And then finally, I just happened to notice at the store an organic bathroom cleaner. And this is USDA seal on it. It's made with antimicrobial cleaners that do not have any harmful chemicals in there. And I was just surprised at how easy it was to use. And in fact, it works pretty darn good. So if you give those things a try, see what you can find out there to make a difference in the things you do every day, you'd be surprised how easy it is to go green. And it's not what Kermit the Frog said. It's not easy being green. It actually is easy being green. And so I want to challenge you to think about that as you make your purchases in the stores. So I want to get our guest on the line now. We have Melissa McGinnis here, and I'm going to try to get her online, see if we can reach her. Melissa, have you joined us yet?
I'm on. Hello.
Here we go. Melissa, sorry, we've had some technical difficulties here today. Welcome to the Palm Springs Savant & Company. Glad to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Rick. I love speaking with you, and I'm looking forward to our topic today.
Great. Well, I was while my computer was coming back up, I was vamping, to be quite honest. I had a script and my notes written for the show today, and had to do it from memory. So I'll tell you, my little commentary on wind farms really challenged me to recall all the facts. I didn't really do as many as I had hoped to cover, but we did just talk a little bit about transitioning, you know, really getting our listeners to understand that there's lots of things we can all do to help be more sustainable, environmentally conscious, and think about the impact that we have on the environment every day. So I started off talking about things like wind power and asking people to read up on the facts so they can support them when they hear about these things coming to their communities, that they don't immediately push back and think, oh, I only think of the negative aspects of it. There's a lot of great things with wind energy. And so my opening of the show this morning around that was just kind of to put my two cents in that, you know, read the facts, find out what's out there, and then support legislation and things that will come to your community to help the environment. Spent a few minutes also talking about some of the products, common household products that people can use to have greener choices. And so all that was my lead-in for having you on the show today, Melissa.
Well, I was listening, Rick, and I love that you pointed out wind farms and alternative energy, because the truth is we have to, whether they're pleasant to the eye or not, hopefully they are, but we have to be thinking of these ways to bring in alternative energies because we just don't have a sustainable supply. So talking and discussing wind energy, I think, is a great topic and a great thing to get people used to thinking about, because every city and every part of the country has some type of natural energy supply. And so I think we need to really take a look at that and be accepting of some of these new alternative ways.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that, you know, there's so many great things going on out there. There's people who are committed to the cause, people who are passionate about it. And I think for myself, having spent the last, you know, 5 or 6 years becoming more educated on this, when I started, I didn't know a whole lot about any of this. And I think what made it easier for me were some resources that are out there. There are a number of great magazines, there's websites, there's organizations, all there that help disseminate information, make it easier to find out about it and read, and really kind of break it down into chunks that are more manageable for the average person who's still learning about being more sustainable. And that kind of leads me to Greenopolis, and I want to be sure that folks, I want you to do most of the talking here today, Melissa, but I want to give my listeners a little bit of an understanding of why Greenopolis is so great. This is just my opinion here. Greenopolis.com, and if you're following along at home when you have the internet up, it's greenopolis.com. It's a really fun, interactive website. It's very simple. It's easy to read. They have a great, you know, mission statement. You know, the Pledge of Greenopolis is about doing good things. I like Greenopolis because you guys provide information about how to recycle, you know, easy things to understand, and you can provide some great stuff, that very tangible things that the average person can do. Greenopolis is focused on three concepts in my mind: the reduce, reuse, recycle. But you guys kind of call things out like repurposing. That is really another element that you don't hear as often, but you make it easy for people to understand. So, Melissa, you have been known to millions of people. You are the star of Greenopolis TV, and I know that sounds glamorous, but you actually do get down, roll up your sleeves, and go to all kinds of events around the country and the world, it sounds like. I've seen you travel South America, too, but you impress me because you dig in And you're not just a beautiful woman talking with TV. You're actually an intelligent person, very educated and informative on all these things out there. So that's my intro to Greenopolis and to Greenopolis TV. And I wanted to just ask you a couple questions. How did you get involved with Greenopolis, and what brought you to them?
Well, thank you for that nice intro, by the way, Rick. I really appreciate that. I got involved with Greenopolis when I was working kind of as a consultant to try to think about ways to help increase recycling rates and help get the word out about how important it is to recycle. And as you know, Greenopolis is owned by Waste Management, the largest recycler in the country, and they had Greenopolis as a web entity, and we took that web entity and combined it with our on-the-street kiosks. So we have a platform for people to actually go and recycle, but then we have a web entity to help educate and reward people for recycling. So our big theme really is waste to resources, and we want to really just get people to be thinking differently about where products are coming from and where products are going and how to eventually close the loop, if you will. So I'm glad that you picked up on kind of our repurposing message, because we really want to talk about how to reuse and, like I said, eventually close the loop on all products being made.
Yeah, I think it's you guys do a really good job with that, and we'll talk more about, you know, in this interview today about just some of the places you've been, the things you've seen. But there's a couple things I want to cover. I just want to go back and mention here that people sometimes think that it's difficult to be green, that it's either it's complicated or it's expensive or it's something that someone else does. One of the things that I hear from you in following you along and all the things you do is that it's really not, it's changing people's mindset. This is not a difficult thing to embrace, and it's actually very easy for people. And so I wanted to just kind of ask you to expand on that. How is it that everybody can make a difference? Is it something that really anybody can do to be more green?
Well, I'm so glad you asked me that, and I'd like to preface this answer with the fact that I'm learning alongside everyone else as well. So I never claim to be an expert or to do everything 100%, because I almost find it nearly impossible, but I do know that every single little bit counts. And, one example for me is I've really made an effort to carry a tote bag with me wherever I go. And I can't even tell you the amount of plastic bags and paper bags that I have saved or have not taken home with me to end up in the trash, not, you know, even being reused, but they're just so disposable. Just one little effort makes a difference. I know you talked about switching a light bulb, 75 to 80% more energy efficient or uses less energy, but also if every household just switched one light bulb, that's taking almost 4 million cars off the road a year. So if you think of all those little efforts, if everyone's doing something little, they really, really add up.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, in my house, it does take some getting used to when you have to, stop, make those conscious decisions, and even things like the energy saver light bulbs, they do have a different glow to them. And, you know, if you're someone who's been accustomed to incandescent light bulbs, your first thought is, gosh, the light is different. Well, you brought up a great point. You could, even if you just change a few lights in your house to these energy saver light bulbs, that will make a difference. So if you're somebody who likes the aesthetic of incandescent and you just can't seem to let go yet, and I would just caution you that someday those will all go away. There's actually legislation proposed here in California that would make incandescent light bulbs illegal by some point. But anyway, in the meantime, if you're having a tough transition, just change a few light bulbs over. And now that little step, if lots of people did that, those little steps make a difference. So I think you bring up a great point there, Melissa.
Well, and I like to tell people, change them in your garage, change the bulbs out, the ones that are outside on your patio. They don't have to be, your glamorous, like, dining room area.
Right.
Just change them where it doesn't seem to matter as much. And your point of, eventually all the light bulbs will be these energy-efficient light bulbs. I believe that the innovation is so incredible right now that they will have nice glow to them as well at some point. So we just all have to kind of stick together and get used to some of these uncomfortable changes, but know that the innovation is on its way and we'll be fine through this.
Yeah, what you know, this idea of people making these little steps, I think when you do little things like this, it does make it easier. It's not so overwhelming. Are there a couple, you know, would you say what are the basics people should start with if they want to be more sustainable? Where should they start in their, you know, household or in their daily life?
Well, I did a top 10 tips for 2010. We aired January 1st at Greenopolis TV, and I kind of think that those give a nice starting place. Of course, number one is recycle. I think we absolutely have to take responsibility for all this packaging that's coming in and out of our, you know, doors every single day. Make it easy on yourself. Set up recycling bins versus trash bins in your kitchen. So if there's no question that this is going there and this is going there. So I think absolutely start by recycling.
You know, Melissa, I just want to jump in here if I may. When our community here in Palm Springs started recycling a number of years ago, we got this big giant blue bin. And I thought, I'm never going to fill that thing up. And it seemed like a huge oversized waste in my mind. Meanwhile, I started changing what I did with the waste in my kitchen. So, you know, a wine bottle, a jar of pasta sauce, a canned good item, cardboard. I started just sort of, you know, sorting them and putting them into little piles and things, and I would put them into the garage. Well, before you know it, that big oversized blue bin was filled up. And I was really surprised. I was shocked how much waste that I was generating in my own house from my own everyday life that I typically just threw in a garbage bag and put out on the sidewalk. Well, I didn't realize that until I started separating it and putting it into my recycle bin. And I actually really feel good now when I see how much gets reused in some fashion.
It's truly amazing, just myself, just what comes in and goes out. It's just unbelievable the amount of packaging just on a day-to-day basis that we acquire. So recycling and then, you know, reducing and reusing. So we have to start becoming aware about our consumerism. I now, you know, will go out and want to get a tea or coffee, and sometimes I say no because I don't want to take a double paper cupped coffee home to have to throw away or recycle. I just am starting to kind of just back off consumerism a little bit. And then reusing those jars that you're saying, a pasta sauce jar, I've been washing those out and saving for buttons or, you know, it's like creative thinking time for everyone. How do we reuse these materials that they don't end up just sitting somewhere, but really making sure that they all go somewhere. I just filmed a segment yesterday about storm drains, and the scary thing is no matter how close you live to the ocean, these storm drains collect items that people aren't putting in a correct area, so either the trash or your recycle bin, and they make their way to the oceans. And we have, as you know, 5 plastic gyres floating in the ocean, and, you know, ocean acidity that is like off the charts, killing a ton of sea creatures. But the point is, whether you live near the ocean or not, you're affecting it if you're not taking responsibility for your own packaging and your own trash, if you will.
Yes. Yeah, it does. It adds up quick. I didn't want to interrupt you there, but your first tip is a great one. And you, I think you listeners will be surprised when they see just how much waste we generate. And it will make a difference, but it'll also start to shift your own behavior, because you'll start thinking, gosh, do I really need this much, you know, create this much waste? And you will. As you said, you'll start second-guessing some of the things you've just done in, you know, automatic mode for so long. So the process of recycling itself is good, but it'll also, over time, you'll see it change your own behavior. So that's a great first tip.
Totally agree. And just to end on that tip, I've just kind of created this new saying, and we're going to do a segment about it, but when in doubt, don't throw it out, recycle it? Because I think it gets confusing to people on, is this recyclable, is this not recyclable, and therefore they shut down and recycle nothing. So my point is put it in the blue bin if you think it's recyclable, and they will take it out at the processing plant. So when in doubt, don't throw it out, recycle it, and fill that blue bin up as much as you can, and they'll take care of it. And people don't think about shampoo bottles and, you know, different type of plastics, not just beverage container plastic. It's the shells that your salads come in. It's shampoos. Put those all in the blue bin and let them figure it out whether or not it's going to be recycled.
I love it. When in doubt, don't throw it out.
Recycle it. Okay, so my next tip is walking. I know it's hard. People are used to driving, you know, even to a friend's house a block down the street. The point is we need to just start reevaluating the way we're living our day-to-day life. And one of them is we abuse this car and the energy that goes into these cars and the pollution that comes out of these cars. Try to walk as much as possible. Not only will your, I think, health change mentally and physically, but it also helps to really, really conserve resources, which is what we're also about at Greenopolis, is resource conservation.
Great. I love it. Walking is... and it's good for your health too. I mean, living a healthy lifestyle. You know, this is—it's all. It's just, I sometimes digress here, but if you think about the interconnectedness of everything we do and to each other, just a simple step like walking more. Not only does it prevent the use of, you know, fossil fuels and all that stuff, pollution, but it makes you healthier. Okay, which then reduces your health problems, which then reduces your impact on the healthcare system, which reduces medical waste potentially, which reduces costs and that it burdens on the system. I mean, so it goes on and on and on. So a simple step like just walking more has a really this ripple effect, a positive effect on the universe and on the environment. And it's just amazing. So it's great to think about all these things you can do have multiple benefits. That's a great second tip.
The interconnectedness is so true. I think it also makes you a nicer person. You get to know your neighbors a little bit. We were meant to be outdoor creatures. You know, one of the biggest deficiencies in vitamins that we have here in the United States, which is really hard to believe, is vitamin D. We are being told that we're not getting enough sunlight. So if you have any chance at all to get outside and walk to the dry cleaner, walk to the store, always carry your tote, I think that what you're saying, you will experience overall better health.
Great. Love it. That's a great second tip, and I need to do a little bit more walking anyway, so thank you. My dogs will appreciate that.
Sure. My third tip is plant your own vegetable or little herb garden. And I think this goes back to what we were just previously discussing, kind of some type of interconnectedness. You might not get your entire, you know, daily dose of vegetables from your own herb garden, but it's important to watch things grow. It's important to see that your food actually does come from the earth, and it's important to see that the watering and, you know, how you take care of it results in something bountiful to eat. So I think that it's a nice education piece, but it's really exciting, you know, just last night for me to go cut a little rosemary and add it to, you know, the dinner, a little bit of basil. I don't have a huge backyard. I only have little potted herbs here and there, maybe a couple tomatoes. I would love to have a full garden, but that's all that I can manage right now. But the point is just to be connected to where your food comes from and to be aware of how it grows and what it needs to succeed.
I love it. And just a side note, a little bit of fresh basil sure is nice with some homegrown tomatoes, and it's a great slice of summer. So I would do it for that reason alone, but it's also great for the environment. Love it.
Okay, well then I'm going to skip down to one of my tips further down is buy organic. And part of planning your own vegetable garden is to understand how important it is to keep pesticides, fertilizers, not only out of our bodies. I mean, it's really outrageous the amount that goes on. Even one apple, there's like 9 different pesticides involved in that one apple with a conventional growing process. But an organic choice is not only the right choice for our bodies, but also the environment. So all of these pesticides get into the water runoff, into the storm drains, into the oceans, and they're literally, you know, killing ourselves, killing habitats that are inundated with them. So I think it's important to look at and get yourself educated about it. You can hear over and over again, buy organic, and everyone says, oh, it's more expensive. Spend some time, like you said, on the internet and really see what the difference is, because I think, you know, along the lines with you of learning and growing over the last several years, and doing my own kind of research, it's outrageous what conventional farming is doing right now. And I think everyone, for their own personal health, needs to take some responsibility and do some research on their own. And grass-fed beef and grass-fed chickens are an incredible alternative to corn-fed. A lot of the corn crops have a ton of pesticides and fertilizers, but also are bad for the soil. So when you understand farming a little bit, you understand that crops need to be rotated and how we need this topsoil to keep producing food for the United States. So soil eradication is also a big, big issue here in the States. So I think everyone just needs to spend a little time educating themselves on the difference. It's not just more expensive, but it's also the only viable way. And to that, you can also go to farmers markets, and you don't necessarily have to buy organic. Just look for products that are pesticide-free. At least make that small choice. Things that are grown locally and not flown in. I know it's nice to have strawberries in the wintertime, but it's just really not a natural process that we're supposed to be following. We really are supposed to be eating local and seasonal foods. So really be thinking about that. It's a big way to cut down on your carbon footprint and resource conservation as well.
Yeah, and you know, I've talked about organic, buying organic, because I'm a huge advocate of organic foods and products, but it can be pricey, right? So people have to make tough choices in life and in their budgets. I advise people all the time to prioritize. Think about the foods that you buy that you can decide which ones for sure you want to buy organic or pesticide-free, and decide the ones that you can afford. So I've advised, and there's great lists out there, and I don't want to be the authority on this because I'm sure I'll miss something, but you know, there are certain foods and things that we eat that have potential for higher levels of pesticides that if you can start there first. I mean, I'm not going to get the list right here, Melissa, but for example, if I had to only buy a few things organic, for sure it would be, you know, milk, eggs. There's certain produce, fruits and vegetables that have a typically greater usage of pesticides that farms use, conventional farming uses, or the membrane is thinner, or like, for example, potatoes, they're in the earth, so they absorb all the pesticides really easily. So, you know, if you think about which ones to prioritize based on what you consume, you don't have to necessarily buy everything organic, but you can try to get the ones that will have the greatest ability to reduce your exposure to pesticides. That's where I'd start. And then you gradually will be able to buy more once you get into a groove with it. But people sometimes say, oh, if I can't buy everything organic, why should I bother? Well, you can't, and it's not realistic to expect you to do 100% of it for everyone, but you can make those small steps, and I think that's kind of a theme I'm hearing from you today, is there are little things that we can do, all of which will add up collectively. So don't, if you're a listener and you're worried about the cost of some of these things, start small.
Yeah, we just interviewed Dr. Weil, and he said the exact same thing. Choose a couple of things that you can buy organic. I can't buy everything organic, so I have to do that myself, but every little step and every little choice makes a difference.
Great, great, love it. So, number three, I cut you off there, I'm sorry. Where were you on your list?
Oh, I was just going down. I skipped a couple. Power strips, put all your electronics on one power strip and switch it off. That's easy. Composting has gotten a little bit of kind of discussion around it, because I think it's, you know, it's not one for everything, like for everybody. I don't think everybody can be composting, but we try our best. And I also think that's a good educational piece to see how things can be renewed and reused again. And then, of course, rechargeable batteries. That's a big one. The batteries that end up in landfills are toxic waste, so rechargeable batteries are big. And then my final and my favorite tip for 2010 is the carry your own tote, because I just think that we don't realize how much we bring into the house in terms of plastic bags and paper bags. I have a a little factoid here, that one supermarket goes through 60 million paper bags a year. That's just one supermarket. So I really want to be involved with the reducing that rate, because I think that that's a big waste of our trees. I think a lot of the supermarkets are now using some recycled content in the bags, but not, you know, on a complete whole level. So carry a tote is my big number 10 tip of the day.
Well, that's a great one. That one's easy to do, and I keep a stash of my bags in the trunk of the car, or if I'm walking, they're lightweight, so I can walk to the store. There's a couple stores where I live that I can actually walk to that are convenient, and they really are nice to have because they're sturdy. They're better than those plastic bags anyway, quite honestly.
Well, also for clothes shopping, I'll take mine to Nordstrom's with me, or if I'm going to the vintage store, I put my clothes in my tote. I'm trying really hard not to take home any additional packaging or papers or plastic that I don't need.
Yeah, I love it. In fact, and Melissa, you and I had some interaction together in the pet industry. Most of my listeners know that previously I worked for Petco for about 13 years, and one of the things that we did at Petco was we introduced the reusable totes in the pet industry, because it really wasn't – the pet industry was a little slower in getting on board with those things, and Petco, a number of years ago, we brought out our reusable totes, and we have a whole number of them. They really took off, and people wanted to buy their pet products, their food and toys and everything. They were buying the bags, but they were coming back and reusing them. And it was really cool to see that shift take place in a space that people didn't expect to see that. And so I've ever since then, I've been a huge advocate of reusable totes, and I'm glad that's on your list.
This year for Earth Day, Greenopolis is having a huge celebration in Times Square, in San Diego, a couple other places around the country. But I myself am going to be in Times Square, and we will be handing out reusable totes. And these totes, we found recycled cotton. So it's cotton that already existed to be made into these totes. And I just wanted to let your listeners know, if you're in New York, come down to Times Square and get a Greenopolis tote for free from us.
And for those people who just may not recall the day of Earth Day, what day is that?
It's April 22nd.
Okay, great. So that's a good day to get down and meet Melissa. And you might even sign an autograph if they wanted to, wouldn't you?
Yes, absolutely. We're going to be there all day. It's going to be a huge event in Times Square. A lot of different vendors and companies obviously talking about their products. But we really want to celebrate Earth Day, and we'll be filming a lot of different potential stars. I can't really say who's coming.
Oh, great.
But my good buddy Waylon will be there from Elephant Journal. He's going to be co-hosting the day with me, and I just think that we want to encourage everyone to stay tuned. It's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of new stuff coming out from Times Square.
Fantastic. Now, Earth Day, it's been going on for a number of years, and I think one of the cool things about Earth Day is it just highlights, it puts a day of the year when it gets everybody talking about it, you know, and there's been certainly some hype and some companies, you know, jump on the bandwagon, but at the end of the day, it's a good thing if people are talking about it and keeping it top of mind. Why do you think it's so important for everybody to be really thinking about and talking about resource conservation?
Well, because we have a limit. We don't have limitless resources, and I think that we're all now just starting to understand that concept. And you know, after the Industrial Revolution, where we really kind of exploited a lot of different manufacturing processes and resources, we really kind of got kicked in the head of, wow, this stuff is not going to be here forever. So it's just, Earth Day needs to be every day. I'm glad that this is the 40th year that we'll be celebrating Earth Day, but it needs to be top of mind daily, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely it does. And you know, people do get distracted, and they, you know, it's just human nature, I guess. But Earth Day really, in my mind, lives on much more than one day, because it affects people's behavior. And, you know, if somebody learns one or two things that they hear or they read, or they're at an Earth Day event, and that those one or two things change someone's behavior or encourages them to go and read more and learn more, that's the power of Earth Day. And so people laugh sometimes and say, oh, well, people turned off their lights for, you know, 10 minutes on Earth Day. Yeah, that's great, but that's a sign. It's symbolism for what we want people to do and think about, you know, all through their lives. And so that's in my mind what the power of Earth Day is. It gets people to really stop and think.
Absolutely, and you know, carry one or two messages with them. And it's why I'd like to announce something that different that we'll be doing starting in May with my portion of Greenopolis, which is, you know, the television segment. We are going to start a program called Earth to Melissa. And the reason for this is what you've kind of been hitting on, which is not everybody can be 100%, but including myself. And I get a lot of comments about, hey, you know, you're talking about like the 5-minute shower, but it looks like you have really high energy Hollywood lighting behind you. So it's so interesting to me that, you know, we'll be trying to make one point and we'll get some comments or feedback on a whole separate subject. So the Earth to Melissa show, or part of the show, if you will be featuring these comments, because I think it's so important for everyone to understand that I'm not 100% there as well. And so I will be reading the comments that we get in about segments, and then also answering any type of questions that people have. Even if I don't know the answer, I'll go find it. So I just think it's important when you talk about Earth Day and somebody taking away one or two facts. You know, we're all learning together. We're all trying to do the best we can together, and let's just discuss it. Let's open, you know, the platform for people's opinions and comments, and we're going to talk about them. We're not going to hide from not being perfect, because it would be almost impossible to be.
Well, you're right. It is impossible to be perfect, and you know, that's not the point, really. The point of thinking about being more sustainable, more earth-friendly, being green, whatever you want to call it, is about making conscious decisions and choices and understanding kind of, you know, lesser of two evils or the lesser impact. And there's so many examples and stories out there of things that that people immediately question whether that's really of value. And when you start breaking it down, you can evaluate a carbon imprint a variety of ways. So you have to understand all the components. And so we don't want to overcomplicate it and make people feel like if you don't know all the details, you know, you can't participate. That's not it at all. It's about thinking about little choices and steps you can take. And then when ideas and comments come up, questioning how much energy someone's using or decisions they're making, it's a fair point. And if any time I've ever been called out about something, you know, maybe being hypocritical because of, you know, I drove, you know, a number of miles or I took an airplane ride. Even if you say, gosh, you're right, I can't change the fact that I am consuming energy or I'm using something, what you actually can do is you could step up the amount of other things you're doing to reduce your waste elsewhere as an offset. You could go and purchase carbon offset credits. You could do things like supporting wind power legislation or hydropower. So you will be. The fact is, we consume. And the whole point is, if you can reduce that, great. If you can lessen the amount, great. But if there are things that you just can't stop, you can't avoid doing, you have to take a plane ride once in a while, well, do something else to balance that, and then you can feel better about the fact that you're trying to balance and minimize your impact overall in your life.
Absolutely. And to that point, we have control over our purchases and our purchasing behavior. So I just think it's important, like you're saying, you can't be 100% perfect all the time, but you can really show your support in your purchasing patterns and to look for items that are using recycled content in their packaging or going to a more of a bulk method of refilling your jars and such. So to keep in mind that you might not be able to change the world completely, but when you go to buy something, you're purchasing, you're really making your voice with your dollars.
Yeah. And, you know, I wasn't planning on going here on this show today, but you brought something to my mind, and that's this idea of what you're saying, that when you vote with your wallet, consumers vote with their wallet every day. We send signals to corporate America, to large companies, to consumer packaged goods companies, telling them what people want. And so if more people start buying things like organic products, like things that are green or environmentally friendly, that is going to send a signal, and they're going to make more. They're going to be manufacturing more. So this is not a company endorser here, but you know, I buy a lot of things at Costco, and I noticed on the shelf that they carried Tide and they carried some other brand, whatever it was, of laundry detergent. But I also saw they had a brand of environmentally friendly laundry detergent. That's the one I selected. And it was actually about the same price as the other one, the name brand. So I made a decision to purchase something at a store, and over time, they've been expanding their selection of environmentally friendly products. So is it because they're really altruistic and they want to help the environment? Maybe, I don't know. But I would bet you that they saw demand from consumers and they said, let's put more so we can sell more. And they got my dollars. So I feel like that's an example of things that we can be doing to affect, to really make a difference over time. Spend your dollars wisely. And if you have to, if you're someone who likes to do letter writing campaigns and emails and things, you know, send an email to those companies and ask them why they're not making a product that's either organic or pesticide free or earth friendly. But you, at the end of the day, you need to support those products and buy them also.
And support, if I could just add to that, a closed loop system, because I think we can think about the product within the packaging, but I think we need to start thinking of packaging as well. And you know, I applaud the companies that are using recycled content in their cardboard, recycled plastic in their water bottles. I think it's so important to not only think about the product itself, but also the packaging, because ultimately that's, I think, where we're going to be up in our eyeballs with this packaging if we don't take the initiative and support those companies that really understand we have to be reusing these materials.
Yeah. You know, I being in the pet industry, one of the things that has been difficult for consumers, well, this really applies to anything that's an expirable fresh product. People want, they expect certain things to be fresh and to be to not have any infestations in them. So pet food companies, just like human food companies, they make products, they package their products with things that will have a protective barrier, either multiple layers of paper or they'll be, you know, a plastic bag or something. And there's been a lot of controversy about that. Gee, this packaging isn't very earth-friendly or it's not recyclable or whatnot. So there is a balance because people need, I mean, if you're going to eat something, you need it to be fresh and not spoiled or infested. So there are challenges with packaging, but you know, what companies can do is the pet food companies have, some cases, started using packaging that's been made from recycled materials, or they can actually provide information to their users on how to reuse your pet food bag. So let's just say, for example, you have a large bag of pet food and it's in a paper bag. That has multiple, if you look at the bag, there's a couple layers of paper. Once you pull out the inner lining, which is kind of a wax-coated paper, that layer can't easily be recycled, but the other layers can be, and people didn't realize that. So some pet food companies have been going out telling consumers that, yes, you can recycle this bag of dog food, just pull out that inner layer, and then the rest goes in the recycle bin. And many of the plastic bags, packaging, are a grade of material that can be recycled also. So the pet food companies are trying to do more, and it's your job as a consumer to read that and understand it. If you really want to make a difference, again, when you're sorting your waste products at home, just take a look at the back of the package and see what it says. So anyway, that's just my 2 cents there from personal experience.
Yeah, no, it's great. I think we all need to educate ourselves a little bit more because there's, and what I wanted to kind of wrap up with, there's things out there, programs out there that we're not all aware of. We need to find out what our cities are doing. I heard Long Beach is giving tax incentives for people to take out their lawns, to go with native plants over green grass lawns. And I know interviewing the mayor in Phoenix, they're tax incentives for solar power. You need to see what your city is offering and how to get involved, because in the long run, switching to more of a sustainable lifestyle actually saves money. We talked about light bulbs in the beginning. The light bulb changing process over the year is like cut down by 3/4, with an energy efficient light bulb. And I know with some of these incentives, they pay off. They might be a slight investment in the beginning, like going solar, bringing some solar panels, but they pay off in the end, not just for the environment, but also financially. So a lot of these things that we're talking about seem daunting and potentially even expensive, like buying organic, but the vitamins in one apple of an organic variety versus conventional are, you know, like 3 to 1. So you're actually would have to eat more apples to get the same vitamins that you would get from one apple. So there's actually savings there that we're not really focusing on, but we can take advantage of if we just educate ourselves a little bit.
I love it. Now, I just want to, for our listeners, I want to just take a minute or two to talk about Greenopolis, because I started off by saying what a great resource greenopolis.com is, and there's a lot of great stuff on the internet. So whatever you're looking for, you can find it. You know, but Greenopolis is great because it's a destination that you can go to. I'm a member. It's very easy to sign up. It doesn't take long. It's free. You just fill out your profile, and there's really cool things happening on the site. There's rewards for activity that you do. There's things that you can read about to get questions answered, all that good stuff. But what's great about Greenopolis, in my mind, is that you go to the site and, you know, there's something real. There's real products. There's real stories. There's things that affect you or you can impact you, and you can join in. You can participate. You can share stories. You can do, it's a whole life you can do. But in addition to that, it does have information about the Greenopolis tracking stations. I think that you call them Green Ops tracking?
Greenopolis recycling kiosks.
That's it. Okay. And those are right now at some Whole Foods stores. Is that right? Where can you find those?
Yes, I'm so glad that you brought this up. This is our on-street component to our online social network, but it's actually where you recycle your beverage or, you know, we'll eventually move on to have other things that can be accepted into these kiosks, but for right now, it's really for recycling on the go. So, you know, you go in and you buy a water, an orange juice, and, you know, you almost drink it by the time you get out of the store and throw it away. Now you can actually recycle these containers conveniently. They're in front of Whole Foods markets here in SoCal, NorCal, and there's a few in Phoenix, but about to be launched nationwide. So I think your viewers need to keep in touch with Greenopolis.com to find out where they can get a Greenopolis tracking or recycling kiosk near them. I actually save all my bottles from my office and take them back to this kiosk because of the rewards. So every bottle you recycle, you get rewarded points on your Greenopolis profile. So right now I have like over 500 points under my name, and then I can eventually go to our rewards book and use those points to buy cool stuff. So, like, the last time I bought something with my points, it was a Pinkberry coupon, and a friend and I went to Pinkberry on Greenopolis and ate frozen yogurt, and it was really great. But there's movie coupons and things in your neighborhood, so we tailor it to your zip code, and it just makes it, you know, even more rewarding. I would recycle probably anyway, but I think it's great to be rewarded.
Well, I was watching Greenopolis TV yesterday, and I saw the 2 millionth container was recycled with Greenopolis kiosks. I was very impressed by that, Melissa.
Yeah, and that was just in a few months, so we were all really happy. People are catching on, and we think it's helping to increase recycling rates in general because, like I said, this on-the-go consumerism is a big component to trash, if you will. So, like, I'll empty out my car and find, you know, 5 or 6 bottles, take them to the kiosk and get points. Here in California, we have a CRV. So every bottle we recycle, we get 5 cents back. And you can go into your Whole Foods and use that coupon to, you know, buy a sandwich. It's really...
Wow. That's great. I mean, I'm so impressed with Greenopolis, and it's actually a very heavily trafficked site. I've done my research. I mean, for those of you listening who know someone who even needs a job, there's a job section, green job listing. So, I mean, it's a really valuable site with all kinds of free services. that are out there. So you'll find it entertaining. You'll find it interesting. It will make it easy for you to learn and actually do things for a more sustainable lifestyle. I just want to give you guys a couple more plugs here. So you can follow Greenopolis on Facebook and Twitter. Is that right?
Yes, we have a big Facebook community, and that's where we get a lot of comments and interaction. So that's a good area to be involved in, just so you can kind of have your voice be heard. You can follow us on Twitter, which is great. Usually lets people know where we have bloggers from all over the country that go to different events. So our Twitter will let you know where you can maybe meet one of our bloggers. Course, where you can meet me and be potentially on film with me for Greenopolis TV, but there's those ways to get involved, and then of course just the homepage, sign up and be a member of Greenopolis.com, or just view it without being a member. But if you are a member, every time you blog or comment on a blog or comment, you get points to your profile. It's the same reward points that you get for recycling. So there's ways to be rewarded just going to Greenopolis, becoming a member, and commenting and interacting, because like I said, we really do want to hear your comments. We might not, they might not be the greatest for us and, you know, help with our egos, but that's okay. We like to learn alongside our viewers, and it's just a community of people that are just like us, that are blogging and writing and just really trying to get involved and inspire other people to do the same.
I think it's great. I should just tell you that I was on Greenopolis and I read, there's a people section, and I read some information about you. And I'm not sure if you posted this quote or if it kind of wrote along with your profile, but at the bottom of your page it says, quote, "We may all have come on different ships, but we're all in the same boat now." And that's Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s quote, but you had attributed it to your profile page. Was that your doing, or did someone put that there for you?
That was my quote. We were all responsible for coming up with a quote to use on our profile page, and that's one that I've just always loved, and I just think it's just so true. We're all in the same boat now, and we all can talk about our differences and, you know, how this might be easier for you to buy organic because you have this, or, you know, we can get caught up in that. But the truth is we're all in the same boat now, and what do we do from here? How do we take it from here on out?
Well, Melissa, this has been great. I really enjoyed having you on the show today. You, in my mind, you really kind of reinforced how easy it is, or how easy it can be to be green. And Kermit the Frog was wrong. It's not. It is easy being green. You can reduce, reuse, and recycle by everyday things you do in your life. Vote with your dollars. Buy things that send a message to consumer goods companies, and live your life making little changes that will add up. Anything you want to plug before we wrap up today's show?
Well, I would just like to have you maybe help me challenge the viewers and some of your fans on, I know you have a very successful blog, to write in to Earth to Melissa. What are your questions? What are your comments? What do you guys want us to talk about? And maybe we can join back up together again in the next, you know, few weeks and discuss some of the questions that people out there are wanting to know, or comments that they want to be heard.
I'd love that. So how can people reach you, Melissa, if they want to write to you or get to you, in touch with you about this?
Well, anyone can post a comment on our Facebook wall. I will have Earth 2, and that's the number 2, Earth 2 Melissa at Greenopolis.com as an email for anyone to email me anytime. But if you'd like to challenge your viewers, then we can get back together and see what we're not answering, what we're not addressing, or what people like to talk about and what people are learning, to just continue to help inspire other people to make those small changes that make big change.
I love it. Great. Melissa McGinnis, thank you so much for joining us today on the show. Greenopolis.com, Greenopolis TV. Look for Melissa in Times Square in New York on Earth Day. And be sure to get in touch with Melissa with your questions, ideas, and tips. I also want to ask everyone to check out my blog today. I do have some information about Melissa posted, rickrockhill.blogspot.com. You can also tweet to me at Rick Rockhill on Twitter, and would love to hear from you. Melissa, thank you so much, and I wish you all the best with your Greenopolis TV and Earth to Melissa programs.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you so much. I look forward to speaking to you again soon, and good luck with everything. I really appreciate you spending the time with me this morning.
It's been fun.
All righty. Well, take care.
It's been a lot of fun. You're listening to Palm Springs Savant & Company right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Rick Rockhill, your host. Thanks again, and until next time, have a great day.